Okay, so on the first one, you're saying select substring building, so that tells me the field. Comma one means start at character one. Comma one means take one character. So what is that going to get me? K. K, and the next one's K, and the next one will just give me H. Okay? On the three. Then I say concatenate that, meaning I'm going to push together, so concatenate that, with the substring of office. The starting point is negative 3, so I back up 3. And then I take 3. So I essentially take the 3 that I backed up. If I said back up 3 and take 1, I would just get the 1. If I said back up 3 and take 2, I'd get 1-1. But I said back up 3 and take 3, so for the first one I get 1-1-2. And then I concatenate those together, and I'm going to get K-1-1-2.
So the first that first value you're putting in after you designate the column is where it's a starting point.
It's the starting point.
The next value is going to be how many characters you take.
Exactly.
That starting point.
That's right. So start with K and take one.
And by
so just K.
So it gives me just K.
Okay.
And then with the next one, I'm looking at the field called office. The starting point is in 3 because it's a negative 3. So I go in 3 and take the 3.
I
in 3 from the back, so
I
come in.
Let's say you end up with a count.
Right. So it's going to show up as K112.
Okay, I get it.
See you coming. Yeah, she's coming. Better. Now, concatenate, that would make it more into a row rather than a grid.
Right, it's just one answer that.
So it's
I'm concatenating the two things together, so I'm getting K112.
So okay. It's not going to give you column headers
no.
or anything like that?
Well, it will give me a column header that probably will say substring whatever, as many characters as it can
okay.
from doing the thing.
But you're not looking for that.
I'm not looking for that.
And because you didn't designate the commas or spaces from the academy, it's just going to
That's right.
put it all together.
Right.
It's going to put it all together.
It's just going to put it all together as one.
Thank you.
get the results with A, B split, like with the letter B split with the number.
No,
it would just be right together.
So I get one column that just says K-112, K-114, H-1, whatever it is, H-114.
So it would come in a column now?
It's going to come as one column, yes. Because when it processes records, it will process each record on a row. And there's three records in that file. And so each record is going to be produced on a file, on a row record. Okay, because this file, I'm showing you a file that has three records. And so if there's three records, it's going to show them right underneath the answers, right underneath each other. Because it tends to show an answer on a row. Number two?
Just the numbers?
Yes. Okay, the way the substring works is I tell what field, then I have something here that is where I want to start. And then I have something here that is how many. And if this is missing, then I take till the end. Okay, so if there isn't a third thing and the second comma is missing and there isn't a third thing, then I take till the end. That doesn't apply here, but that's just... So I'll say that.
What does the FLD stand for?
Field.
Field, okay.
I actually hate it when they use the three letters that stand for, blah, 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 and they use just three letters. I hate that.
I am confused on the second one. Where the second line of the query.
From OFBL.
Is that the table name?
Yeah, because I set up here as data in the table.
Oh, OFBL. I'm sorry. Okay.
So that's the table.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, how does number two work? Okay, so first of all, you always resolve an inner query, inner function first. Okay, so I've got to resolve in the string. Now notice over here, I had two commas. Okay, stop talking for just a minute. Over here, I've got two commas, right? They're the separators. That's the field, that's the stat, that's the how many. Over here, I also have two commas on substring. I have that's the field, and then there's a comma. So everything up to the next comma is dealing with finding out what the start is. And then the how many is three. But everything between those two commas is finding out where the start position is. So what am I telling if the start position is where? At the pound sign, and then what else am I telling it? Not at the pound sign.
Plus one.
So I'm saying it's at the pound sign plus one. So everything between these two commas, okay, everything between the two commas is about the start point. So I'm looking at in string, I'm saying find the number sign, and it finds the number sign. And then I said, when you find the number sign, add one to it. Because I really want to start with the character after the number sign. So once you find the number sign, add one to it. And that will give me a number. So for the first one, you know, when I find the number sign and add one to it, that one will be the starting point, right?
Yeah.
When I find the number sign and add one to it, that one will be the starting point. And then how many characters am I taking? Three. Okay.
And if there was no three there, then it would start at the one past that and go all the way to the end.
Yes, it would start at the thing past it and go past the number sign and
okay.
go all the way to the end. So the numbers would work fine on the first and third, but the second one would have the space pay from it. Okay, because it had to go all the way to the end.
So this is where we're starting, right?
So on that theory, if you wanted to go on the left side of that hashtag, would you do a minus one?
Yeah.
Okay, and what if there is nothing after that minus one? Does it go all the way to the beginning?
No, the minus three is only finding the point.
Okay.
And then the comma will always say go to the end. Actually, I'm not sure if you put a minus on that one, what it does.
Okay.
I think it probably backs up three, but I'm not sure I've ever tried that. I'll try to remember to.
I'm just trying to think of if you've got a name with a slash, you know, last name, first name.
Right.
And I could probably use this to extract
absolutely.
The last name, but I don't know how
well,
to
do it. Well, you do with it's the plus one here. That would mean, since I know that the last name starts in character one,
right.
How many characters is really the location of the slash minus one?
Right.
Yeah. So in that case, I'm not going to find the start, I'm going for the how many. Because the start I know is at one. So I'm going for the how many. And so I'm looking for the slash or subtracting one, and that gives me the how many. So if the name is Fox, slash is in four, subtract one in three, that's how many characters are in Fox.
Okay, so, but then let's say the last name is onomatopoeia. You know, there's a million characters in it.
And a million minus one is the length.
Okay.
Because if I find the slash, it's a million minus one. Then.
At least I know where I'm starting to think.
So what are you getting for number two?
Just 112.
Right. Yep. Okay, number three. that's where I stand with the answers to 1 and 2.
So check yourself. If those are not the answers you got for 1 and 2, then you got a problem. And if those are my answers for 1 and 2, so my goal is a half an hour, I'll go to the office. Okay, so we'll be going. Well, this is making us a lot of
okay, so you're doing 500 divided by 7. Okay, so 7 sevens are 49. And that goes in once. And the remainder is 3. So mod gives me the remainder of 3. It's not a round thing until you get done. Mod gives you the remainder of 3. Okay. Now, rounding actually does absolutely nothing for you. I just want to throw it to the but if you round the whole number, you end up with a whole number. Okay? Right? So rounding doesn't do a thing for you. So the 5 does something definitely. Tells you how many characters. Yes. Okay. All of this stuff between the commas is the stat. All of the stuff between the commas is the starting, is part of getting the starting point. Now, I could also have put a calculation in after the comma instead of saying 5, I could have a calculation in there if I wanted to calculate the number of characters. But on this one, I didn't calculate the number of characters. So what are you going to get for the first one?
Divided by 7, the remainder. Is that right?
Yeah, but what's going to show up?
First, you're going to get the names, actually. The names.
I didn't say show me the name. I just said show me what comes out of this substring calculation. And the substring, remember, is on the contact.
Going to be John in the station?
Nope. Because where's your starting point?
So 3 in.
Huh?
3 in. Your starting point is 3 in. Okay, so I'm saying look at contact, go for your starting point, which is 3 in. And take 5 characters. So what are you going to see?
M. Smith. M. Smith. M. Smith.
What did I do with my...
And spaces count. Correct. Spaces count.
Spaces count.
So would it be N space SMI?
Starting with character 3.
Yep.
Okay, why am I not there? I am getting it. All right. Okay, that's what I got. Why did I get that? And what's the third character?
H.
The third character is H. Now, as I said, you need to always double check and find out whether the first character is one or the first character is zero, because the world sometimes handles that differently. But you can just do a test and find that out easy enough. So this is starting with the third character, which is H, and it's taking five characters. H, N, space, S, M. Okay, so I'm starting with the third character and taking five.
And where did you get the instruction to start with the third character? I'm lost there.
By doing this round mod. So mod is year goal, which is 500 divided by 7. Mod gives you the remainder, and the remainder is 3. When I round 3 to 0 decimal places, it has no impact whatsoever, because the 3 is a 3. Okay? And so that means I end up with my 3 as my starting point, comma 5.
It's kind of like algebra.
Yes.
I didn't like that.
So that goes with mod, this goes with round, and then I end up with a 3. And when I end up with the 3, that is the starting point, and I go for 5 characters. So what is the next one go? What is the list going to look like? Because I've got 6 names, so there should be 6 things. Yes, each one has to have its own divide, because your goals vary. When you do it on calculators, you end up with a decimal number. That's not what you want. You want to divide and get the whole number remainder. I don't know. Is there a way to divide on the calculator and say, I just want the whole number?
Just take whatever whole number, ignore the fraction, multiply it back by what you divided by, and then deduct it too. So.
It's easier to do it on paper.
Yeah, it is. That's the way you do it.
For the second one, you're going to have 400, which is the year goal, divided by 7. Okay, so I'm coming up with a 1 for that, which means that you're going to get the name
Susan.
400 divided by 7.
And so that's what I got with Susan.
Because 400 gave me a remainder of 1. And so when I say contact started 1, go for 5, I end up with Susan. Right? Because, you know, 400 divided by 7 gave me a remainder of 1. Okay. So that means starting character 1.
Okay, what's the next one going to be? Actually, the next one is nothing.
Because null divided by 7, it just doesn't do it. Okay, so I end up with nothing. I end up with a space there.
Because null divided by 7 doesn't work. Okay, try to do the last 3. And then move on to number 4. Spacio, and 50 is a remainder of 1 again.
So it's the first 5 letters.
So I've got John and space,
and then Amy space capital C. Okay.
So it does not return a value on the the year goal that's 0.
That's null, right?
Right. So it won't leave a blank line in the query. It will just leave nothing.
It'll leave a blank line.
It will.
Yeah. And if I had other fields there, I would see just a blank in that column.
Okay.
You know, if I'd said, show me the contact name and everything else first, it would have just done it that way. Okay. Let's do number 4. This seems to be making sense, and you seem to be figuring stuff out, so we'll just keep going with it. You understand substring better?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're on to grouping by. So try this one. Yeah.
So we're just skipping the 4th one.
Yeah, you just skip a lot. Because if I had other things that said print, show this, this, and this, and show those on the line, it would just be full and then call it.
I have one more question.
Yep.
Yeah.
is you having to flip the name that comes in as Doe/John, and there's a lot to be said for paying attention to those that we did and seeing how I can put the in string inside, and I could also put the in string down here for the number of characters, or I could put something down there for the number of characters.
Is that next week's assignment or this?
I think it's in next week's. It's showing up one of them. It shows up in one of the SQL assignments. Okay, so now do 4 and 5, please. Maybe it's in Revisited. It's in one of the maintenance ones. See it, but it basically it follows the create. Somewhere I've got that in here. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, it follows the create table to that as, and then you can say select after. Well, that's the way I do it. And this one, I was looking for an example, but this one is created with only selected records. But if you say select asterisks, then it creates a new table. So I'm creating the table, and I give the table a name as select everything from another table. That's the backup.
I looked it up online, that's how I was going to do it.
That's how?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You found a better source than he did.
Yeah, right. I just put backup on it.
He found a better way of doing it. You found a better way. Okay. Has anybody got an answer to number 4?
And what is the answer that you've got?
Somebody tell me what they got for number 4.
I think she's got a good answer.
I don't
think. Okay, first of all, I'm doing group by. So how many groups are there?
Four.
All right?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking for you to put out the 4 groups and the count. So I'm counting how many there are. And I want them in order. Okay. So I've got the 2, 1, 1, 2, and it is in order by contact. So Amy, and then John, Bryce, and then Susan, because it's in order. So was yours that it?
I got it right yet.
Okay.
So we're good. The numbers wouldn't go parentheses.
Pardon me?
The numbers wouldn't go parentheses.
No. It just puts them out regular, those numbers. Okay, what's number 5?
I
What is it?
And just the one that's still at 819, right? Because they're excluding the other two.
Yep, yep.
Set of solutions as a group, but I just basically want to be able to check it off. I also actually, can I have your pencil? I actually want to take it, so just paper.
Oh, sorry.
No, I guessed for the wrong thing. I wanted to actually take attendance today, so go ahead and start it. Because verification starts this week, and so I have to tell them people that are not in the class. The way I do that is via email, in fact, because this is a student option class, which means some people are taking it totally online. Some people come sometimes and don't come other times. And some people are here for every class. So the only viable way I can take attendance, really, is via email. So I want you to send me an email once a week. You know, if you're sending me an assignment, then that's fine. You don't have to send me another email. But if you are, you know, you need to send me something once a week. Saying, I'm here, I promise I'll get caught up, or just send me an assignment. Okay. Okay, we are going to start to look at relational database now. And we have all of about 15 minutes so we can at least get started on it. And I will work on it some more next time. So,
what I've got here, and the one that we're looking at is the first handout for week 3, Introduction to Multiple Tables. Okay, so I have here a donor table that we've been looking at up until now. We've been looking at it. And I've got a donation table, and I've got a drive table. Okay, so I've got 3 tables going on. Donation, donor, and drive. Let me turn off the lights. Okay, we talked a little bit about linking in the first class, and that's what we're talking about now. So I've got a drive, 3 tables. I've got donor, donation, and drive. ID number is on donor. ID number is also on donation. So I can link these two via ID number. Okay, donation has a drive number as well. And drive has a drive number. So I can link these two via drive number. Okay? So I've got a way of linking these tables together. I cannot link donor directly to drive. I can only link donor to donation and then the donation to drive, because a donor might give to many drives, but a particular donation is only to one drive. Okay, so a donation is made to a particular drive. And then I've got information about the drive on the drive table. Okay? So those are the 3 tables I've got. Now I want to be able to access information on multiple tables. And that's what we're talking about now, is being able to access information on multiple tables. Okay? If you come down here, this is the way, one of 2 ways I can do this. I can do it with a where clause, and I can do it with a join clause. I like where clauses better. I think they clear up. Join clauses are more current. You'll probably see a lot of them out there, but a lot of people agree with me that where clauses are more current. So you're, more understandable. So you're going to see both of these done. And today we're looking at the where clause, and on Thursday we'll look at the join clause. Okay, so I can say here, select table1 or 2.column. So I can select something. And so I have the table dot the column. The table that it comes from dot the column. Then the from clause has to list the tables that I'm using. And the where clause tells how they are linked, how they are related. Now, what did I just do? There we go. Okay. Now, in fact, I said here table 1 or 2 before the column name. If the column name appears on both tables, then I have to specify which table I'm talking about. If the column name does not appear on both tables, then I don't have to specify, because it's not going to get confused. So, for example, the drive chair is not going to appear on any other table. And so if I had drive chairs on my columns, I wouldn't have to put the table in front of it. because it is unique. I can always put the table in front of it, but I'm lazy, so I don't tend to if I don't have to. But, yeah, you'd understand that. But sometimes it's good for documentation if you're making something that you're going to save. Okay, so here's how I can relate based on drive number. So I said here, select the ID number, because the ID number does not appear on both the donation and drive table. It appears on the donation table. So it knows the ID number. It won't get confused. Then I said, comma, donation.driveNumber. Donation.driveNumber is needed, or I could have put drive number, drive.driveNumber. It doesn't matter which one I do, because as you look at the WHERE clause, you can see that I'm saying I only want to see records where they're equal. So since I only want to see records where they're equal, it doesn't matter whether I put up at the top I want to see the donation drive number, or whether I put that I want to see the drive number. Because I'm only going to see the ones where they're equal. And then I put the drive name, and then I write from, and I put the two tables that I'm accessing, and I say I only want the relationship where the drive number on the donation table matches the drive number on the drive table. And so I get those results. Down here, I didn't put on the WHERE clause. And I put both the donation and the drive number, just so you can see it. And you'll see that I've got a whole lot of repetition going on. Okay? Because it's giving me every possible combination. Because I didn't put that WHERE clause in. So I'm getting every possible combination. And clearly that's not what I want. I want the records where the donation is to a particular drive. And my reason for doing this is I want to go into the drive table and get the drive name. So I'm putting out, this is the person, their ID number. This is the drive they gave me. I want to link into the drive table to get the name of the drive. So I know the name of the drive as well. Okay? And so that means, since I want to link in, I want to find, I know the drive number is 100. I want to find 100 in the drive table. So I want to go into the drive table and find 100. They donated to drive 100. Now I want to go into the drive table and find drive 100. Does that make sense? Because drive 100 will tell me the right drive name. Down here, I have 111. Notice I have 1111 gave to drive 100 kid shelter. Down here, I go 11111. Drive 100, kill shelter, and then the same thing with animal home, and then I link it to health aid, and then I link it to everything. So I've got every possible combination. Okay? So the first four records that you can see up at the top, first all got linked to kill shelter, then all got linked to animal home, then all got linked to health aid. Okay? Questions. Tell me if that doesn't make sense.
I don't understand why in that last example you have all those combinations. Why is it?
Because I didn't put the WHERE in. So it goes through and takes a record and links to every record in the drive table. Every possible combination. If I come back up here and look, there were three records in the drive table and four records in the contribution table. Okay, so if I put every possible combination together, that gives me 12, and that's what I get. I get the 12 because I've linked every single record to every other record. So the first one gets linked to all three. The second one in the donation gets linked to all three drives. Third in the donation gets linked to all three drives. And it just gives me every possible combination. Okay. If you are feeling lazy, and actually I'm not sure I took a picture, so let me go back and take a picture of those. Sorry about that. But I'm not sure I took a picture when I said there were 12 records. Okay, so down here, you can, if you want, to abbreviate. So I said donation will be known as DO, drive will be known as DR, so I can link them using DO and DR. Again, that works very nicely if you're feeling very lazy. And then I said I want to link them where the donation drive number is equal to the drive number. And so I can keep going and put all my other specifications in too. And the drive number is greater than 100. So I didn't get that first record for drive 100. I just get the records for drive 200 and 300. Okay? So I can eliminate something in there, and I've eliminated all drives greater than 100. Now, on this one, I am linking two tables, okay? So I've got the donor ID linked to the donation ID. But I've got three tables listed. So I have to tell it, and the drive number of the donation equals to the drive number of the drive. So I have linked all of the tables as best I can. I've got three tables, donor and donation linked by ID number, donation and drive linked by drive number. Okay? So I am getting information from all three tables, and I am linking them together so that it works. And notice up at the top, the only thing was that I had to put the table name in front of them, the things that are the links, the things that I link with, because they appear on multiple tables. And that's a big rule, that you should never carry data in more than one place, unless you need it for linking purposes. But you don't want to carry data from more than one place. My husband went to work for a company at one point, and it was a company that later went out of business. And he claims it was because of their computing. But essentially, they kept customer name and address in about three different files. And then they wouldn't update them all. So the customer would change their address, and it would get updated one place but not another place, and this and that, and it was just a disaster. You should never have the customer name and address in more than one place. You put it in a customer table, and if you want it, you link to the customer table, and that way you get it. But you don't carry it in multiple places, forcing people to update it multiple times, and they probably won't. He lasted there about a month and started putting out, looking for another job kind of things, putting out his resume, because he was pretty sure the company wasn't going to last, and he was right. Okay, we have run out of time, so we've just started to look at this, and we will pick up and do the rest of this on Thursday.
Assignment to review.
Yes. Anything I assigned last week is due this Thursday. Anything I assigned this week is due next Thursday. things are always due on the Thursday after I assign them, unless I specifically say otherwise, but I've learned to experience that I should never do that. Pardon me? Yes. Now that I see him, I think there is less.